Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight.
Good evening.
Here we are again on a Saturday night, ready for the awesome fun and relationship with the family. And thank God we get to be together all over the world. Think about it. All over the whole world. We get to be together. And in so doing, not only change your life, change ours. I encourage those of you that are on Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening, and you're like, wait, I got a question. Right during the program tonight, you can send that question in. And we'll answer. My email address is right there in the notes of the program. And so you can avail yourself to that. And you will be able to get through to us. Email me or send us a message on Messenger. Or come on Facebook and YouTube and enjoy that with us there also. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Are we ready?
I is ready. Are you?
I believe I'm as ready as I can ever be. 8374. Blue 42. Blue 42. Here we go.
Hey, I got a notification.
Really? That fast?
Jay Cuddle is live. I think I'll go there. That's all about.
Phyllis Raymond is with us already.
Hello.
Hi, Phyllis.
Wow, you are quick.
On the spot tonight.
Love it.
The share is happening. Made. What's happening in Louisiana tonight, Sister Phyllis? Good to have you with us tonight. For a beautiful, beautiful Saturday night. It's been a beautiful day all day here in North Dakota. And I trust that wherever you were, was you, some people got rain that we had. But we're sitting in beautiful, clear skies and 84 degrees again tonight.
And we have signal for this program.
And we have signal. Yes, it's really amazing. That was the most interesting thing you ever saw.
Yeah.
Sitting right underneath the cell phone tower. No connection. Well, I think somebody is up in their sleep. There is a connection. Wow. They're getting a pretty good rainstorm in West Branch, Michigan right now.
Really?
Sister Well, and Brother Jim and Sister Wilma, evidently you just had quite a storm. Brother Jim, looks like you're about ready to get one. Looks like Michigan had some. Oh, no, that's going the other way. Well, hallelujah.
I like a good storm. I just enjoy them.
I don't mind thunder and lightning. Whoops.
Yeah, our wind was a little out of control the other night, but the lightning storm was just beautiful. And I like the sun.
Rebecca Smith is with us. Good Saturday night to you, ma'am. Been a very hot and sunny day in Lansing, Michigan. Good to have you. All of our friends all over the world, I was smart enough to stay home and play on my Facebook while everybody else went out on the boat. I love them summer storms. I like that gentle rolling thunder that rolls through.
Oh, yeah.
What we found out last night, is we got 5 to 8 inches of rain in the matter of about 2 hours. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a lot of rain. That was a lot of rain. Becca Chapman's with us.
Hello.
Hi, Becca. Good to have you with us. We love you. We miss you.
And what are you having for
And what are you having for dinner? Everybody fess up. What's for dinner tonight? Oh, I'll start. I had liver and onions and mashed potatoes and mixed vegetables. Woo! And about 8 glasses of Dr. Pepper. So there may come a time tonight. Leanne might need to get him and take over for a while. My dear friend Leo, here, one of the truck drivers here, he called me and like, hey, dude, let's have supper. So guy on Facebook showed fist-size hail from last night near Ovid. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
But I just said, I bind destructive weather. You know, you can't bind weather because weather is God's system on this earth. We bind the destructive weather.
Yes.
So that doesn't happen, you know. There was three different tornadoes around here, I guess. I was taking pictures of them. Got the whole family tonight. Well, hot dog. Who's the whole family tonight? Jake and Jack, Will and Katie, Grandma. YouTube is not on yet. Give YouTube a little time because on YouTube, it's not as easy to edit the beginning. And sometimes when we start the program, we wander around in our conversation a little bit. And it's easier to edit off of YouTube or Facebook than it is YouTube. So that's part of that process. Just got a severe thunderstorm warning till 9 o'clock. Had a pork chop, mashed potatoes, and coffee.
Wow, that's good.
I'm ready for some fresh vegetables like cucumbers and
we should have gone down to
what do you call them? Tall onion things? Green onions, just tall little ones you pull and eat around.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know they're green and I know they're onions. I didn't know if they had like a special.
No, it's green onions.
Ashley. Hi, Ashley. Oh, yeah. And Sam. Sister-in-law, Angie. And mother-in-law. And your husband. My Lord. We got a whole show happening in West Virginia.
She said she had the whole family.
Hello to everybody. Now, we have to give you some ground rules here for the Saturday Night Live question and answer session. Number one, have fun.
Yes.
If you're not having fun, we send you to the back pew where the crazy folks are. I mean, the fun folks are. And then you learn how to have fun. And then, of course, Saturday Night Live is Saturday Night Live. And God always shows up, and we have a blast having a question and answer session. Now, you do have to have a Bible. So if Sister Becca doesn't have one, send somebody quick to the Dollar General. They've got some. Or go to the local hotel and just don't do that. That wouldn't be. Well, it's not going to the hotel because the Gideons want you to have those Bibles. I'm in a trouble, and I need to stop talking for a minute. Everybody pause while I get control of my lips. One guy told me that the first Bible he ever owned, he stole from a hotel. And I said, well, wait a minute, brother. The Gideons put them in there on purpose, so it ain't stealing.
Right.
He said, I just don't know about stealing a Bible.
That is something.
Hey, Kathy Angaroni's with us.
Hello.
Kathy Angaroni is with us. Now, back to the rules. You should have plenty of coffee. It wouldn't hurt to have a little bit of soft drink with you. And if that stuff gets crazy, just have a good old glass of water to drive it all down with, all right? We recommend very specifically a piece of paper and a pen, and most importantly, the Bible. Now, if you're a real crazy Christian, keep your shofar close by, so whenever there's a good point made, you can just have a laugh. I don't have my lip tonight. What is up with that? Kathy, drive home from work tonight. Kathy, good to have you with us. Now, those of you that are new to us, we will be traveling all over the world tonight. We'll be in Singapore and Malaysia. We'll be in Africa and Europe and Australia, South America. We'll be all over. So if somebody walks by and says, hola, senor, you know, just say hi to them. Felicia Eicher.
Hello.
been driving fence today.
Wow. Are your flowers all planted already? Or are you gonna
blew a bummer horn that time. All right, Rebecca, you challenged me, so here it goes. You challenged me, so now I got to do the real one, all right? See if we can get this done here. I don't know why you clear your throat before you have to buzz your lips. I don't know what it does.
Airflow. Clear airflow.
The other side of it.
Now you're laughing and can't partner, huh?
The other side of a good shofar is you got to not be laughing in order to blow the shofar.
Sounded like we were downtown Jerusalem right then.
Hopefully all y'all are having a good time tonight. Let's kick this live over to YouTube and we'll get those folks with us. Now, you know, if you're streaming at home and you got a smart TV, hi Wilma, welcome. Good to have you tonight, man. And you have a smart TV, you can catch us on YouTube on the big screen, so you can turn the volume up and then you get a really big picture. I'm not quite sure about that. Don't throw anything at the screen, whatever you do, okay? But then a lot of people will put it up on the screen on the TV and then use Facebook, their phone to do things. That's a cool deal. Now, those of you that missed us at noon, that was a really interesting deal. We've been to this park several times and videoed there. We went there again today to just sit and enjoy the birds and the ducks and the geese and the pelicans and turtles. There was turtles there today. And we are literally sitting like 200 yards from the cell phone tower.
Yeah.
It was nothing. So after a couple tries, we just said, well, let's just enjoy the sunshine. And on the phone. All right. Well, I'm pretty excited about everybody at Becca's house. Likely to get a whole stack of questions from Becca's house tonight. But here's the thing, that's always a cool deal. We like a lot of questions on Saturday night because it puts the word of God right where you need it. and that's what we're trying to do. That is what we do on Saturday night. We kind of do it every night, but the reality is, Saturday night we focus it in on question and answers, and really question and answers about anything. It's kind of open topic, and usually during the week we ask you to do your best to stay close to the topic so that we can get our message free. It's a great week teaching in John chapter 14 and the new prayer, and then in the evening we've been talking about a great door and effectual has opened, and there is an adversary, and he's defeated, and we win. And I like all of the above in Jesus' mighty name. Almost got one full cup of coffee down already. I wasn't supposed to start that until 8 o'clock, but we'll be all right.
Ooh, Rebecca has sweet tea.
All right. We missed everybody's supper. Now, everybody fess up what you had for supper, even if it was a quarter pounder with French fries. Of course, Kat Angerini on the way home probably stopped at the chicken place, Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
It's 8 o'clock there. That adversary got a hold on a family member. I declare, in the mighty name of Jesus, no family members of ours can anybody get a hold on. Can I get an amen? With long life, amen. I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Well, that's a good one. She ate and cheese subs. Becca Chapman had subs. Uh-oh. Sounds like tonight's a sub night. That is so funny because I just pulled in Chick-fil-A.
It's the Holy Spirit.
My husband wants a Big Mac.
Oh, my goodness. There's the Holy Spirit.
Oh! How's everybody else doing tonight? That's just too good.
It is.
Oh, Sister Wilma, how about you? What do you guys have for supper? Good Holton supper? You got to love it when that happens.
Oh, it is a sub night. I might have to run to Subway real quick so we fit in.
Well, Matona had chicken. I started to have chicken today, but then my friend called, and so I decided for the liver and onions and mashed potatoes and gravy. It was amazing. My friend, Brother Leo, when he finished his hamburger, asked what they had for cake. And they brought him a piece of cake that was like this big.
Really?
And about that tall.
What kind of cake was it?
It was chocolate, double chocolate, chocolate, chocolate.
Oh, man, that was at
Lonnie's. It's chicken coleslaw and baked beans. What's for supper, Mom? Woo! Liver and onions yesterday and the Tony House. Come on.
The Tony House. No, they had bacon pancakes, didn't they?
The Wilma. And
oh,
Jim
the Tony House.
Yeah. See? Listen, don't think this is anything spiritual we got going on tonight about food. We're just here. We're just here having a good time being a family, as we are. My husband wants me to make green beans and potatoes.
Like fried together, ooh, with some onions in there. Yum.
Oh, it is yum. I've had that many a times.
Yeah.
As I traveled singing across the South. Nobody feeds you like the South do. The South believes their preachers should be healthy. That they should have more than enough.
There you go. Abundant. Their preachers should be abundant.
Barbecue chicken with all the fixings tomorrow. Woo! We're going to come. All right. I'm on mobile on the phone, and we're headed to the restaurant. I got to go eat some different food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's always a blast to hear what everybody else is doing.
It is.
That's one of the powers and the joys of this family, the body of Christ here that we call the community of faith. It's a Southern thing. Food shows we care. This is true. I think the most amazing spread I ever had was in Georgia's got an onion named after her. What is it?
Vidalia.
I was in Vidalia, Georgia, singing in a singing group. And that church put on a spread, a church spread. They weren't even Baptist. They were like, you know, Wesleyans or Nazarenes or something. And that church put on a spread like, there's more food there than... It was absolutely amazing. And they put it on for four guys in a quartet, you know. It's like, how are we supposed to eat all that?
Well, maybe they were going to spend a bunch of it with the food for the rest of the trip.
That was my first night having sweet onion pie.
Ooh.
Woo! It's delicious.
Really?
Oh, it's amazing. hand, they had this chocolate kind of double chocolate smack you in the face, put you in the eye chocolate stuff that was amazing. Anyways, they had turtle meat that night. It was quite a night. Can I remember what I sang that night? Not a word of it. Mary Pastorek is with us tonight. Mary Pastorek, I'm going to get to your list tonight. So make sure you're with us. Now, share it with everybody. That's so amazing. You know, the farmer's market you get here is just crazy. And they've got people that are called. We'll have to wait till Sister Leanne gets here. They're like Amish, but it's a different name. But the farmer's market is just outrageous in price. Yeah. What do they call them people? Huffenheimers or something?
Oh, my goodness. What are they called? Not Huffenheimers at all.
It's a name like that, kind of like Amish and Mennonite. And anyways, they've got some good produce, but whoa, is it expensive. And then about three times a summer, there'll be a semi that shows up from Georgia. They park out here in the parking lot with a semi of produce, and it's gone in about 15, 20 minutes, an hour. It's gone.
Well, those guys, you can actually call ahead of time
and
order it. Yeah. So that's a lot of that is people picking up their orders.
Mary is doing boiled dinner tomorrow.
Ooh, I love boiled dinner, too, with lots of potatoes and cabbage.
I think we got to start a new airplane schedule where we just eat all day and we just fly from one of your houses to the next. Hallelujah. Well, all right, guys, it is 7:28. We've probably talked enough about food. But I always consider it a good time, just everybody getting together. And only one of you was I able to perceive in the realm of the spirit what it was you were eating.
Yeah. That was good, too.
Well, yeah, it is. I can see her pulling into the Chick-fil-A. So I said it. All right, anybody want me to say you're pulling into your rich uncle's place and he's got a whole safe, a bolt for you? Yeah, leave my table hungry and it's on you. All right. Well, it is time to honor the troops like we do every night. And so I would ask that you would rise together with me and that you would make the Pledge of Allegiance. If you don't have a flag in your house, I have one here. Remember, it's always proper when we say the pledge. Rise, put your hand over your heart, salute if you're a veteran. And then we'll have a moment of silence in honor of their selfless service. And then tonight, we will be speaking, God Bless America, again, and in honor of those who have served. Some people have said to me, why do you do this so much? Because behind me sits a folded flag of a dear friend of mine's brother, Kenneth B. Welch. He was killed in the bombing of the embassy in Lebanon at the beginning of the global war on terrorism. And that's the folded flag that his brother entrusted to my care to be sure that it will be on his casket the day that we bury him. And it's a somber illustration of the fact that a very dear price has been paid for freedom. And on this day, there are tens of thousands who pay that price again, missing their loved one. And so our duty is to honor and remember, and then always do our best to pray and speak the will of God for them, for their lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Join together with me. Under your honor, let's make the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid the last full measure of devotion, and those who on this day were in combat and received a scar in their spirit or their soul or their body. It's in honor of their battle brothers that served alongside of them and those who are serving today. This moment of silence will last in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, if you will, let's quote God Bless America as we sing it. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. I want to read the words to my country to thee. Everybody listen as I read this tonight. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture fills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake. Let all that breathe partake. Let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. And now, let's pray for the United States of America and tonight's session in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. God and Father of every brave warrior, down through American history, we begin every prayer almost the same way every night, sir. Because we stand in awe of your everlasting, eternal, ever diligent care of this great nation. 400 years ago, the pilgrims showed up You protected their trip from the beginning of the plan until they landed and put their knees in the sand and gave glory to you, God, our Father. And here we are, 400 years later, men and women of God, we the people of the United States of America, sons and daughters of Almighty God, declaring, may God bless America. We gather all of the prayers of the saints down through the years, every one of our warriors in the great cloud of witnesses from the book of Hebrews, from the blood of every patriot shed on any ground for the United States of America. And we declare with them, God bless America. May God bless America. Forgive us of our sin, Lord. Heal this land. We seek your face. We want to know you more, God our Father. We know that you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Right here, right now tonight, we, the people of God, we the people of the United States of America, bow our knees, sit in our chairs, and say, we seek your face. God bless America. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like that holy anointing oil. We thank you, Lord, that there's a commanded blessing when we gather together in your name and we stand together in unity. You come with a blessing and you command it upon us. We declare over every patriotic organization that tonight having an event, may they start in prayer. May they start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Be bold and strong, and that commanded blessing of the Lord come upon them tonight. Father, we thank you that our government is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 22, that you are our lawgiver, the legislative department. You are our judge, the judicial department. You are our king, the executive branch of our great government. Thank you, Lord, that we got our foundation in you, and we declare as men and women of God in faith tonight, long will this land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, we're not ashamed. We're not afraid. We're not bashful. We stand boldly because the book of Proverbs says the righteous are as bold as a lion and the wicked flee when nobody is chasing them. And we say to every one of you wicked politicians and corrupt people, you need to flee because we are chasing you. And we command you, get out of our offices. Get out of our nation's leadership. This is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. Father, that there are good politicians. Thank you that there's great men and women in every community across this nation who believe in you and believe in this nation. And we bless them today. As the Apostle Paul said, pray that we be delivered from foolish and ignorant men, because not all men have faith. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them. We don't know who's reprobate. We don't know who's so far in the sin and wickedness and love it that they're now an abomination to you. You do. We ask that you have mercy. But if there's no mercy for them because they've sinned away their day of grace, in the name of Jesus, make it public. Make it swift and severe so that as we read in the Bible, great fear falls upon this whole nation. And we return to the roots, the God of our salvation, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Psalm 121 says, he who keeps you never sleeps and never slumbers. Thank you, Lord, that we have an innumerable host of angels that are protecting the United States of America. We bless the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, our Secret Service, the FBI, our Special Forces, and all of our police force. Everybody say, God bless the blue line. God bless the green line. In the mighty name of Jesus tonight. Jesus, you're the one that said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. And we say it right now tonight, all across this nation. No matter where there's a violent situation happening, angels of the Lord go, and may our police officers use the name of Jesus before they pull their weapon and bring the peace of God. May it manifest in our city streets. And as Psalm 144 says, there will be peace in our streets. No more breaking in. We bind this wicked spirit of racism and built and developed by politicians to keep people in slavery. We command you get out of our nation now, in Jesus' mighty name. And now we're going to make a declaration that we have written from the word of God, Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 20. This is a declaration that we make against the isms. And we put it in the comments so that you can see it. And we want you to be able to make it together with us. Too big to get into YouTube, right?
Yeah.
So you're only going to be on Facebook, but it's all right. We just keep working on it. We'll figure out how to make all this work yet on both of these platforms. This is a declaration. This is like a war cry, okay? So this is what I say. Don't say this with your eyes closed. You don't go to war with your eyes closed. You never shoot a weapon with your eyes closed. Right now, the weapon we're using is the word of God and our mouths. So speak it boldly with us tonight. We bind all the effects of the isms.
It is
impossible for your weakness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. God said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seemed to be torn down
in the realm of the spirit
and in the natural. You have
declared that every
weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now, and every pit you have dug, you fall into it yourself immediately in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Psalm 144, 14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are building, the walls of righteousness. Bless you, Sunday Geyser. We bless you. If you would like a copy of that, I know I've said it several times, But we want to make sure you have one. So if you need one, then let us know. We'll message it to you so you have it. I would encourage you. I think I said I'm Dr. Pepper. I would encourage you to pray this every day. Every time you think about it, just get it down inside of you and declare it. Drive through your head and declare it. Why? Because you and I are the force on this earth. We're the force on this earth. Mm-hmm. The enemy reels from our power. We don't reel from his because he has no power. And now we're going to make the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Pray this with us. It's in the notes. It's in the comments. If when we pin it, you can't get it to the Seymour, scroll up a little bit in the comments where it was first posted, and that Seymour will break open, and you'll be able to see it. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain, and that this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. And this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You want to sing it? We got to sing it. You sing it.
What am I singing?
Proud to be an American.
Oh.
I'm proud to be an American. Sorry, guys. I don't have a singing voice today. You guys can. I'll listen to you. Everybody sing. Where at least I know. And I won't forget the men who died, gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Woo!
And right when you say it like that, Chuck Norris runs across the screen.
Yeah.
And when he does, demons fear and evil. God bless the U.S. Well, welcome, Brother Dan, Felicia, Kathy. Man, we got the whole block of you tonight. Mary Pesterick. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Looks like we got everybody welcome so far tonight. God bless you guys. And Sister Becca Chapman's got a whole house full of folks tonight. And Computer Kid, Chris Patel, welcome, guys. It's good to have you with us tonight. All right. Everybody just pause for a moment. There we go. We dealt with that one. Because we have a program of honor and enjoyment. And when you show up, anything besides that, we just pop your little zit and keep on moving. Welcome, Chris. Good to have you. Chuck Norris is fun to watch. I'll tell you what, I saw one the other day out in the logging world, and it was a good one. But I don't remember what it said, so I'll leave it alone. So if you guys ever see it, You get to see it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, tonight is question and answer session. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about Job. We're going to talk about Paul. We're going to talk about Jesus. And we're going to talk about you. And that's going to make it for a great program. I declare tonight that it'll be a while for get her down. Shut her down. It'll just go. Because that's what usually happens on Saturday night. Let me give a couple announcements first. Remember this, next Saturday night on June the 19th, we'll be having a session with a man named Brother Dwayne Byerly, who ran around with Dr. Hilton Sutton and was one of his assistants as he was going around teaching end time events through ministry. Brother Dwayne is going to be teaching next week on Saturday night, America, the United States of America, in end time prophecy. So make sure you're here early. Make sure you get the whole family in. Get the bleachers set up. Put it on the big screen. Pop some popcorn because it's going to be a great study with Brother Dwayne Barley. That's next Saturday night right here on our live program like we do. Now, we welcome you to be part. Share it with other people. That way, matter of fact, If somebody knows how to put a whole fancy thing together, let's make an event for it so that people will come and be a part of it and enjoy it with us because we're in the time of the end, and it's very important for you and I to see where we are right out of the Word of God. Brother Dwayne doesn't use assumption. Everything he does, he backs up by the Word of God. And so, in Jesus' name, a good time. That's next Saturday night, a week from tonight. Now, those of you that that know that God's placed you in this body, and you call me your pastor, and this is the place where you worship the Lord with your tithe, I am, I think it's still there tonight, but I'm moving away from Cash App because people have been having trouble getting finances to me here. I'm not saying don't use it in your other places. But I don't know. Some of the stuff that's gone on, I'm not impressed with them at all. So I wanted to ask you if you can use a different process. We opened up two different processes to make it easier. One of those is Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, that goes from bank account to bank account. And the other one is, what do you call that thing? Hold on. Got one of those names that Venmo. So we have a Venmo account that makes it easier to get finances to. So if that's you and I want to do something different, then make sure you contact me. Some people are using, actually use a messenger. It seems work good too. And we're just making it, what I'm saying to you tonight is we're gonna make it simple for you to worship the Lord with your tithe and your offering. I'll tell you, God's blessing is on this ministry. God's blessing is on everybody's life that says, I'm going to jump in and do it. The doors are opening, and his blessing is there. Amen. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. And we pray over you guys every day, several times a day, for God to abundantly bless your life and your family, because that's our place as pastors in the kingdom of God. Remember, the title pastor is not a title that you want to seek after. That's a title that is anointed and appointed by God. Comes with some very severe guidelines that you got to walk by and very specific assignments that we fulfill every day. One of those, all of you that's a part of this. And we do that several times a day. For those of you who are tithe here, what you tithe is also tithe and sowed on. And God's moving, man. There's some stuff that's going on this year. As a matter of fact, I've had three testimonies this week of financial things that have broken through. The last one is a man had some very severe debt. Mm-hmm. Very severe. And in a matter of 8 weeks, it was all paid off. From severe to paid in full, 8 weeks. Somebody say, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. What is that? That's an infallible proof that says this book works when you do what the book says to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, last week, now, I'm not going there tonight, but last week we talked about the tithe last Saturday night. Remember, tithe is about worship, not about money. Now, it involves your money. It's got those parts, worship and money. But the first point is worship, because in the garden, God said, give me this tree. And the whole point of this is worship. That worship takes you out of the world system, puts you over into the kingdom system. And God's money, God's money don't make sense, but it makes a whole lot of faith. Because you just look and say,
wow,
did you just see that? And you'd be like, yeah, I did. Does it make sense? Not a lick of sense. How did it work? Don't have any idea. Did it work? Not only did it work, and God's blessing is on. So glory, hallelujah. Let's see. What else we got? I've been saying it. I said every time we come here, I'll say it again, and then we'll jump into the Word of God tonight. If there's ever something I'm teaching, and you say, I am not getting this, pastor, at all. You can ask a question publicly, but many times it's better for you to actually sit down. Hey, I'm going to write an email to pastor, and then just start typing it up. Here's why I say that to you. Because when you do, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, wait. This thought will come to you, and this thought will come to you, and this thought. And you'll be like, hold it now. To see this, ask your question. Because here's the deal. If you're asking it, there's another 1,000 asking it. Why? Because you're a humanoid. Like all the rest of us humanoids. Mm-hmm. And if you got the question, somebody else thinks just like you. Somebody just said, oh, Lord, help them for thinking like me. Hey, you ain't all bad. You showed up here. And that's pretty intelligent to show up here, if you ask me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Did I make that as clear as mud?
Oh, it's clearer than that.
It's clearer than that. Yeah, well, that's good hope. When she says it's clearer than mud, I'm in good shape. So I just encourage you. Always feel free to send me an email, a text, or a message, please. Just feel free. Don't worry. You might say, well, pastor, you're busy. Well, hey, you know the cool thing about the email box? They don't show up at my front door and like beat with a stick if I get too many messages. They just let it stay there. And they tell me, you need some more space. And they sell it to me. And they seem to like it. So anyways, I welcome you. If you send me an email, I will eventually send you one. Because that's how we work here. In Jesus' name, I don't spam you. And I will not reveal your identity to anybody. If you got a story, I might ask if I can tell your story, but I won't tell anybody that it was you. So if you don't say it's you, nobody will know. Here's the thing. Every one of us, when we come together like this, the body pulls together in strength. The body does. Now, as you ask a question, somebody else asks a question, somebody else makes a statement, the whole body, no different than my elbows working, my knuckles are working, my shoulders working, my forearms working, my biceps working, and all of that is moving so that I can reach out here and pick up my Bible and put it here in front of me, and now I'm going to turn the page with this finger. Well, the whole body is moving together for the edification of itself in love. That's the power of the community of faith. And guess what? You didn't even have to go sit in a church building. Well, and a lot of times I like to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, sister better than that. Kids can run and play.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody,
they'll be with us.
Wait, when you get hungry, you can go to the refrigerator. Don't go get in the refrigerator in the fellowship hall at church when you're supposed to. Because there'll be a deacon come and say, hey, get out of there. But when it's your own stuff, nobody can tell you that. Anyway, that's just fun. Here we go. Let's get into the Word of God for tonight. I have a couple questions.
Go ahead and ask. Do my best to answer them for you.
Woo! Look at Brother Raji. Raji Oxer is back talking about food again.
Yeah. Did you have dinner, Raji?
Oh my goodness.
What?
All right, here we go. <laughs> 2021 live stream. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15 is where we're going to start tonight. Everybody turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You know these scammers that come on here, they're calling me saying they're people I met here and it's not really them. Are you serious, Mary? Okay. Well, I don't want to have to stop and do this right now, but I'm going to do it from what Mary just said. I beseech you. I beg of you. I implore you. How can I get it any stronger? These people who are honored, you're going to, we bind them, and we haven't had many lately. They come on and say, this is my Cash App number, send me this, I'll help you, and you'll make a bunch of money. If anybody says that to you anywhere, it's a scam. Do not believe it.
Right.
As soon as they come here, I nix them immediately. We've got a team that just deletes them immediately. I rebuke them in the realm of the spirit. If they're calling your house, you got to learn to not answer that phone. That's an interesting thing, Mary.
Yeah.
Just don't answer the phone. If you don't know it, don't answer the phone. Let the voicemail pick it up. If it's somebody important for you to talk to, then learn how to use your voicemail. Because what Mary just said is they've taken it from this deal here and are now calling her at her house.
Yeah.
How wicked is that? Don't leave your phone number in your Facebook account information.
Yeah, don't
do that. Don't put your address in your Facebook information. All right? I don't like to take my good study time for this, but this is getting serious.
Yeah.
The number of people around this world who are asking for money and faking being ministers of the gospel is alarming. Just because they show you pictures of what looks like starving kids does not mean that's somebody you should give money to. And
unless you know them and their affiliation,
seriously. Seriously, if you start getting a hesitation, just make sure you get in touch with me and say, Pastor, what about this situation? Why are you saying this? Because these people literally steal widows and senior citizens' whole bank accounts, and they have no fear of doing it. And there's no way for the government to track it all like it is. It's coming right out of Africa. It's coming out of Indonesia. It's coming out of the Philippines. There's nothing wrong with any of those three nations. But you got to watch what's coming because it's just there. Even on YouTube, on our YouTube, there's people that are posting pornography on the YouTube page that we have to continually every day go in and flick it out. Don't open links. Don't click on stuff from anybody you don't know. I don't know how to say it any more specifically than that, and I'm not going to take my whole time. I just very, very specifically warn you. Just don't. All right, enough of that. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Timothy chapter, where was it? Chapter 2, verse 15. That's frustrating right there when that happens. That's very frustrating because that is immoral with those people that do that. It is literally an immoral and it's vile. It is just wrong. So, there. I said it. I hope you got it. And I hope I didn't say anything out of order. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says.
I am what it says I am.
I go do what it tells me to do.
I go do what it tells me to do.
Today, I will be taught the Word of God.
Today, I will be taught the Word of God.
And it is changing my life.
And it is changing my life.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
Because that's what it's designed to
do. I receive it as a seed.
I receive it as a seed.
That is producing 100-fold and more.
That is producing 100-fold and more.
In my life.
In my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself to you. If I've ever learned, been taught, been shown every experience of life, in the name of Jesus, use it today to speak your word to your seed. Use it, Lord. Strengthen this body tonight beyond anything that we have ever known before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And may this time together tonight be filled with joy and happiness and peace. Every one of our technologies works and functions properly. All the wicked, ignorant folks that only want to make a mess, stay away. And the blessing of the Lord comes abundantly right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker or a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, properly understanding word of truth. Everybody say it. My Bible.
My Bible.
It's not true.
It's not true.
It's true.
It is true. Amen.
The sun is shining. That's true. But the sun's going to go down. Right? Mm-hmm. This doesn't ever change. This has been the same since it was written in a letter. Since Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, it has been the same since then to today. People have said for years, as long as there's been a book, they have said, well, it's just men, and they're errant men, and they're human, and therefore, there's things in the Bible that don't make sense. It only makes sense because you didn't study it, right? If you study it, it makes sense. You know why? Because the great makes sense-er. The Holy Spirit is the one that illuminated it all to be written. How else can Enoch in Genesis prophesy about Jesus coming back to the 1,000-year reign? Men can't do that. The Holy Spirit spoke, and therefore it was very specifically a blessing to all of us. Verse 16, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Say this with me. I will not be an arguer.
I will not be an arguer.
Amen. Amen. That is an act of scorn. That is an act of humanness trying to raise itself against God. Does our Father want you to ask questions? Oh, yeah. Every day, all day long, he wants you to know the truth. Because when you know the truth sets you free. So the Apostle Paul is teaching us here, be diligent to study and to know so that you can rightly divide or divide and separate the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's go to verse number 14 through 17. But you must continue in things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Let me help you with something. There's some people that from childhood do not know the Holy Scriptures. What do they know? Church, churchianity.
Yeah.
There's a difference between knowing church and churchianity and knowing the Holy Scripture. Faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. But that's our next verse. Here we go. Verse 15. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Everything we do, everything the body of Christ does, is supposed to bring great strength and help you understand your place in God. Pastor, I happen to go to one of them churches where I yawn more than I say amen. What's happened is that somebody there who's in charge, I have no condemnation to anybody, has given themselves over to the doctrines of men and not the word of God. Because the word of God is filled with power, and it set you free. If you look at what he said right there, you have in verse 15, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. That means freedom. As soon as you're born again, you are set free. As soon as you are saved, you are set free. As soon as you are saved, you are transformed from the darkness into the light. Let's keep reading. 16. I love this verse. We're getting ready to go to Job. So everybody hang on, because Job is a fun book. Well, look at what verse 16 says. All scripture. That's all of it. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. When you get this word working, it transforms every part of your life. You might say, Pastor, I'm one of them folks that's at the beginning of the Bible working in life. Where do I go first? hgpreacherman@gmail.com. That's where you go first. Why? Because send an email, and I'm going to send you 10 verses that are the most solid, stable foundation verses for your Christian life. You got to get those inside of you. And the only way you can do it is read it, speak it, put it on your microwave. I showed you. Matter of fact, show up tomorrow for church on Sunday. I'll show it to you out there. Mm-hmm. We put verses all over everywhere. Why? Because you got to get that word down inside of your life, and then it changes you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Well, how did Moses know what was going on with Exodus? But it's a very accurate portrayal. Why? Holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Right? Here we go. Let's grab now. Pastor, quit your grabbing. Just turn. All right, well, we'll just turn there then. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 19, 20, and 21. When my children were younger, that's all I could afford. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Every book of the Bible is prophetic. Why? Holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The more you come here, the more you hear the word, the more light comes on the inside of you. The more understanding comes. The more you're like, oh, I get it. You'll have a lot of those, I get it. I love it. As the morning star rises in your heart. Right? 20. Knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. The Baptists don't have a corner. The Methodists don't have a corner. Who's got a corner on the revelation of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit who wrote it, the one that has the corner on the revelation. And he is inside of you, illuminating you from the inside out, giving you the understanding. Say it. He lives in me.
He lives in me.
Oh, I love that thought. You can't have this program without Romans 8:11. The same that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. All right, back to verse 21, because that'll get us way out there. No prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Paul sat down to write a letter to the Corinthian church to encourage them. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit to encourage the church. But God wanted it to be his holy word. You know why? Because when the Holy Spirit told him what to say, it matches Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Genesis, and it matches Revelation and John, and all of a sudden you're like, well, there's no human on the face of the earth can put all that together. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit of God. 21, the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There were also false prophets. I'm in chapter 2, verse 1. Among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. The greatest thing of the end times is deception. 1 John chapter 2. Don't worry, we're laying a foundation to get to hope. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, verse 24, and verse 27. 1 John 2, 20, 24, and 27. Verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Pastor, with all due respect, sir, I do not know all things. I know. I've been there before myself as a pastor. I don't know all things. Well, I have a pastor. I have instruction. I have Bible college training. Therefore, the Holy Spirit of God that's on the inside of us pulls all of that together in a way that I don't even know as a pastor speaking his word. I might be talking to you about tithing, and he's talking to you about your marriage. I might be talking to you about your marriage, and he's talking to you about your kids. I might be talking to you about your kids, and he's talking to you about your ministry, and it's all happening right here at the same time. That work. The Holy Spirit of God is on the inside of you, causing you to be developed and to grow in the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Now watch, if all you know is church and religiosity, you probably don't know much about the Son or the Father. I've known a lot of people there about church, but not much about Jesus and the Father. That's why you got to find a group like us that says, we're not going to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we're going to stick with this and not give you one reason for why we teach it. Give you 10 and all of them match a verse. And teach you that no matter what experience you face in life, the first place you take it is to the Word of God. And in all the places of your life you can put the Word, you got to put the Word. Take it to your pastor. Say, Pastor, help me see this. Why? Because the Word of God will make you stand. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path.
Amen.
Amen? Matter of fact, Psalm 119:165 says this, peace have they which love the law, the word, and nothing shall offend them. Had to bring up that word tonight too, didn't you, Pastor? Yeah, let's begin. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love the law, the word, and nothing shall offend them. Pastor, I'm still offended. I know. Get the word, and you'll put the word in, and the offense will go out. The offense will go out. Really? That's a different message. I can't go. 27. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. That's the Holy Spirit. Not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Say this, the anointing The Spirit of God,
the Spirit of God
will teach me about Jesus.
Will teach me about Jesus.
And Jesus is the living word. Think about this. The anointing, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. It's teaching you what this word says. Now, John said you don't have need to anybody as a teacher. Well, anybody teach you. Then why did Paul say that God gave the fivefold ministry? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Well, what John is saying here is it's not that you don't need a pastor or the fivefold ministry in your life. It's that when you get to your daily life and there's no spiritual leader with you, the Holy Spirit will teach you 24/7 everything you've been learning and growing and developing it. And as long as you don't say, stop, I'm not going any farther, he's going to keep teaching you until you are a giant killing David. And the gifts and callings he put on the inside of you are coming to pass in everybody's life all around you. Now, am I making sense? I was expecting her to jump up with pom-poms. Go, Pastor, go, Pastor. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. And he is instructing me all day long. Now, I want you to see this. God, by his wisdom, had Jesus come to this earth as a baby. Jesus lived a perfect human life anointed by the Holy Spirit. He had to live perfect so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, a spotless lamb for the sin offering, so that forever he could break the power of sin over our lives. And it's Jesus literally said that the Father was teaching him righteousness to life on this earth. There was only one day, and only for a couple hours was the Holy Spirit withheld from keeping Jesus' body healed, healthy, and whole. Everybody watch. All through Jesus' ministry, no matter what anybody got around him, Jesus healed them. For 6 hours, as they began to beat him, and he began to take the penalty for sin, and he took the stripes for our healing. That was the only time in Jesus' whole life that any sickness was allowed to stay. Why? He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Therefore, death can stick to it. This is really good. I'm preaching better than you're staring. So the Holy Spirit had to pull his power back so Jesus could bear all of the wickedness, carry it to hell, leave it there where it was, and then the Holy Spirit power kicked in, and he destroyed all the power of the devil so that you and I are free from all the power of the devil, and all we got to do is get our mind renewed to this word, and there will be no power of the devil that will ever have anything over you. Somebody shout amen, hallelujah, for glory be to God. Wait, Sister Rebecca says that is a glory and a big kick.
There you go.
Woo! At what point does the Holy Spirit enter our body. From the moment we ask Jesus to come into our life, yes. Because no man can come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draw him. Somebody find that verse, the reference of that verse. That is not in my notes, but we'll grab that reference and throw it in there for you. Because you can't come to Jesus without the Holy Spirit drawing you. And then as soon as he comes in, you've got Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Last night, we started a series about the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Started last night. It's going to run every night. Probably clear through till next Friday night. It's called the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. I would encourage you to see last night's message and then make sure you're up for this whole week, because it's all going to be about the Holy Spirit in your daily life and how he comes in and where he comes in, and then all of the effect he has in your daily life. You can't preach it in one message. There's way too much. The Holy Spirit of God was hovering over creation in Genesis chapter 1. He's in the throne room in heaven at the end, and you and I have him living on the inside of us. Wait, let's say it again. There's not two Holy Spirits.
There's not a Holy Spirit.
One big Holy Spirit for Jesus and one little one for you and me. No. There's only one Holy Spirit. And he's the Spirit of God. And he lives on the inside of us. That ought to make you shout. Wait, give me a big John Heggie. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15, 16 and 17, 18 and 19. Oh, Lord, we can't do all of that. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Look at Julian Vimala shouting all the way from Malaysia. Woo!
Hello, hello.
I'm so fired up tonight, I'm likely to get up and dance or something. 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Trespasses, does he forgive you? All. A-double-L. As Brother Terry Myers would say, after you get done with all, what's left over?
Nothing.
Nothing. He forgave you of all of your trespasses. Guess what? He forgave you of sins you forgot you did. But this is the cool thing about what Jesus did. Jesus wipes it all away. The slate is clean. Why? Because that way you don't have to worry about it. And then he makes you into his righteousness. I know how it is. Sometimes you're like, whoa, Jesus, what did that guy just say? I know. It's awesome. Look at verse 14. Colossians 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against them, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Everything that was against you, bang, 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 he nailed it to the cross. Why? Because you simply said, Jesus, I receive you. And he gives you the whole kingdom when you say, Jesus, I receive you. 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Say it with me. The devil is defeated by Jesus forever. Forever. If Jesus disarmed the devil, when is the devil ever going to arm himself again? He can't. The Message paraphrase, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. The Message paraphrase says, he stripped him of his sham authority and marched him through the streets naked, making a public open shame of him. Ha, 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 ha. See, one of the things that you and I got to get is this thing's already done. We got to get the revelation of it inside of us.
Yeah.
Say this to me. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
A soul.
I live in a body.
All
right, listen to me. You are not a body. You have one. That's your earth suit. You can't be on this earth without that body. You have a soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. But you are not a mind. You are not a will. And you are not an emotion. Although some of you act like it every now and then. I won't look at anybody. When was the last time you had the road rage going on? I didn't have road rage, but my Lord, I was yelling at somebody today. We're walking across the parking lot, and a car backs up and almost backs over the top of me.
Yeah, really fast.
So I yelled, and the guy stopped, you know, and he drove up. And another car backs up. It's like, I'm like, are you people not paying attention?
They're all together. That's what's funny. And none of them.
So when I get alongside the driver's door, the lady had her window open. I said, she looked scared. I'm like, ma'am, I don't yell at people. But that guy almost backed over me. And you didn't look in your mirror. You just started backing up. You almost backed over me again. She goes, I'm so sorry, sir. I said, well, just so you know, I don't yell at people except when they're getting ready to back over me. Say it. God stripped the enemy of all the power. So you are a spirit that lives inside that body called you. When that body dies, you don't die. You go to the other side. I hit the nail on the head. There's a lag. I'm not sure what that was intended for, but amen, sister. Your soulish realm is the part that frustrates you the most. Why? It's your mind, it's your willpower, and it's your emotions. God has already stripped the enemy of all of his power. Religion wants to tell you, don't act like it's a big power thing. I mean, settle down. You don't have to get crazy like that. Well, I know. Guess what? You get to live bound. I will not live bound. I lived bound for too many years. I ain't bound. I'll never be bound again another day. Why? Because I got a revelation of what this book said. I come to the understanding the enemy has been stripped of all of his power. And guess what? I don't ever have to submit to no devil about anything another day. The part about the feeling. Wait. But listen, until somebody says, hey, wait, you're not an emotion. You just have them. Some people don't realize that.
Right.
And we don't condemn you. We just get out a big sheet. The greatest thing you can get is revelation from God's word. And that's what I'm giving you. One more power verse. And we're going to Job. What about Job? First, no, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. I know I said we got to grab one more verse, but that's all it is one verse. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. And then he said, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward those things that are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward all God in Christ Jesus. And then he said, so his one had like six parts. All right, watch this. This is another one of those verses, set of verses that declares Jesus stripped the devil of all of his power. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know that what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe? Say it. Exceeding greatness. That's not just a little devil, do you? That's exceeding greatness of power. Well, how much exceeding greatness of power does Jesus have? Because that's what he's given. According to those who believe, by the working of his mighty power. 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Angel Collier, welcome. We love you. And Alan, too. Everybody say, God bless Alan and Angel and Paige Noel in the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Say it. Jesus is in the body. Father wants him. Now watch. Verse 21 is one of the most amazing verses of your New Testament. Far above all principality. Don't take the prepositional phrase out of it, all right? Far above all principality. Far above all power. Far above all might. Far above all dominion. Far above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus doesn't have a little power. His power is far above the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, all dominion, all might, and every name that is named, far above it. Now, what's our challenge then, Pastor? Our challenge is to believe this and not all that religious gobbledygook that tells you our God don't have any power. Do you know I could go teach about 8 different ways right now all at the same time?
Yeah.
22. He put all things. What is left over when you get done putting all things under Jesus' feet? Nothing. He put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. Pastor, are you yelling at us? No. No, I'm not yelling. I'm being a little demonstrative, but not yelling. Say this with me. I am Jesus' feet. And everything is underneath me. See, God put all things under Jesus' feet. And you and I are his hands and his feet. We're the ones that go do on this earth. We hug, we love, we lift, we care, we speak. That's what you and I do. We ought to be shouting glory because he's far above all power and all might and all dominion and every name that is named. And he lives on the inside of us. The only time you ever get confusion happening in your life is when you start listening to the ways of man and you stop submitting yourself to the word of God. That's the only time in your life you're ever going to have confusion come into your life is when you start listening to the ways of man and put them above the word of God. Then confusion comes and things begin to get difficult and hard and laborious. And you're looking around going, I know I had faith. Does anybody know what you're stuck it in? Why? Because the ways of man are so inferior to the ways of God. And God said, we get to know his ways. Pastor, there's a verse. I know. But guess what? I got a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10. Oh, you know, I'm really kicking some religious demons around tonight. Anybody notice that? I'm just going after all of them that could slow on any week. Pray for the helpless unborn, Heavenly Father. And your love must protect against the wickedness of the devil. Boy, that's the truth.
Amen. Oh, my goodness.
That is the truth, man.
Woo!
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, Pastor, I told you. I know. But there's a problem with that verse. Don't stop reading there. Go to verse 10. Reveal those things that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard unto us by his Spirit. Say it. I get to know them.
I get to know.
Why would he give you his Spirit unless his Spirit wants you to help him take over the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, drive out the wickedness and bring righteousness everywhere we go? Of course he wants you to know the things that he wants you to know. I'm preaching really good right now tonight. Can we come early and stay late next weekend? Yes, you can, brother. Go with me to the book of Job. I had some questions come in about the book of Job. And I got to deal with questions from the book of Job. The book of Job has caused a lot of people a lot of trouble. Now, it's a poetic book, and many scholars believe it was actually the first book written of all the Old Testament books. I wasn't there to document that, so I have to just trust what they say, and you can't go to heaven or hell on their words, so... if they're true, good. If not, don't worry about it. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. All right? Job was there. Job had a whole bunch of chillings. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. 10 kids. Now, hold on. I'll find my questions here. Is that just something? By pause. There we go. Job. Let's keep reading. I'm in Job 1, verse 2. 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. How many of you know this boy had some stuff? He had a whole bunch of stuff. Now watch. And so it was when the days of feasting had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did this regularly. Enemy shows up, and the enemy starts attacking Job, and the enemy makes an accusation against God. I'm going to tell you something. The book of Job, I want you to get this statement, is properly written. But watch. Job is written properly to what everybody said. It is not doctrine for you to believe what the stupid people say. Job had three friends who spout off pretty in this book, and God rebukes them. Don't believe what they say. The Bible accurately records Judas betraying Jesus and hanging himself. Don't you follow his example. Properly written, properly quoted, but it is not a good doctrine to believe. All right? Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because people accept the whole book of Job and say the whole thing is exactly what should happen in all of our lives from start to finish. No, it is not. Now watch. Getting our help on tonight, aren't we? Uh-oh. I thought I had my verse underlined. That which I feared has greatly come upon me. Now watch this. Did Job sin? Because, of course, sin is the only thing that lets the enemy come in. Now, here's why we're here. Because Job's wife looked at him at one point and said, why don't you curse God and die? All right? That is not a wife that you want to have talking to you and encouraging you every day. All right? Now watch. Let's go. I don't have time to read it all. Verses 13 down through verse 20. Job arose. Everything was 13 to 20. Verse 20. Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground, and he worshipped, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Job is one of the first people on the earth that's writing a book. Job obviously didn't know who God was, because God's nature cannot change. If you don't know God's nature and his characteristics and his attributes, then you will not know that God cannot change from who he is, or he can be God. Can you imagine God changing? Well, he's not God anymore. It's impossible for God to do that. So God did not give it to him and then take it away from him. Now, I know I'm going to get all kinds of emails and texts and everything else, but I want you to get this. God is the giver of life. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. God is the giver of life. Who is the taker of life? Hold your place there. Some of you are scowling right now, but it's a good scowl because it means you are studying, and I like that scowl. I like that look on your face. Go with me right now to John chapter 10. God cannot be the giver of life and the taker of life and be just. His wrath is reserved for his enemies, those who are reprobate and abominable. His wrath is not for his kids. Can't happen. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Look at what it says about Jesus. But I have come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. Job, let's go back to Job's statement now. Job said, naked I came into the world. That's true. Never saw a baby come out with clothes on, did you? Naked I came from the womb. Naked you're going to go out of this earth. Probably have clothes on, but naked before God. Then Job makes this statement. The Lord gives, the Lord is taken away. It's properly quoted, but it is not the truth. I just messed some people's life up right there. They're like, can you believe our own pastor has made that statement right here in front of God and everybody? See, he can't be trusted if he's the giver of life and the taker, and he can just squash whoever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and having no reason to do it. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with his wrong. Job 3:25. Come on. Just because I'm messing with a doctrine that has been protected by the spirit of religion to cause confusion and to cause destruction in the body, doesn't mean you should turn me off now. Please listen. Job 3:25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded happened to me. Read it again. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me.
Fearing.
Quit your fearing. Go back with me to Job chapter 1 and look at verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting and run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning, offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be the sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus Job did regularly. He was making sacrifices out of fear. From fear, not faith. The only place the enemy can ever get in our life is where we have fear. Or confusion, yeah. When you and I have fear, confusion, a false doctrine, then the enemy can come in and strike. Here's the cool thing. When you're a tither, you're protected. When you're walking in the Word of God, when you're living in Psalm 91, you're protected. And even on those moments when the enemy's trying to get at you, the Father says, no, I'm rebuking the devourer. Get off of them. No, they're standing in the Word. The Word protects them night and day. No, the angels of the Lord surround and protect them and keep them safe. But see, what's the difference? Somebody living in the Word and somebody living in fear. Job's greatest statement is, that which I greatly feared has come upon me.
Opened himself right up to it.
Job chapter 2. Job is filled with sores. I don't have time to read all this, so you read it. Chapter 2. Job is filled with sores. I'm in 2:9. His wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. That's pretty serious. Is that of fear or of faith?
Yes.
Fear. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. See, some of you are like, Pastor, Job's not sinning, and he's making a statement that God is doing this to him. God did not do this to him. The enemy found a place to attack him. But see, what we got to come down to is God God and God full of life, or is God just God? He gets to do whatever he wants to anybody, and it really doesn't matter if we serve him or not. It's up to him whether I get to heaven. So, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. Let's live wild and live free. And if I make it, I do it. And I'll just burn in hell.
Wow.
So you can't have that mentality. And we serve God, who the very foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. He's not the one that he put none of the sickness on the children of Israel that was on Egypt. Zero. There was a difference. The children of Israel did not get the plagues. Egypt got them. There's a line of demarcation between God's children and those who are not.
Of demarcation.
There is. But wait, if you and I live a life that says, well, God, you know, about time I get something going, God wipes me out. Can you imagine the God of heaven who made Jesus suffer all of the horrible atrocities of this world to pay the price for you so you didn't have to pay it, and now he forces you to pay it? Well, he's the cruelest being in the world to force Jesus to suffer too. Wait, I know what this does on the inside of you, because I remember the day I heard somebody preach it like this. Two things happened. Number one, I got up and shouted. I think I was at, I don't know where I was. I was jumping and shouting, man. I'm like, hallelujah, glory be to God. And the next thing I was like, wait, I better figure out what I know about God and who God is, because God is real, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. The foundation of his throne is justice and righteousness from the beginning to the end. I got to get that verse. 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth.
What was it again?
Psalm 89, 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face, except every now and then when God feels like he wants to strike you. Let's go back to 13. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, and high as your right hand. But I can't figure out how to trust you, because I don't know when you're going to strike me down or stand me up. That's messed up. Look at 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. And in your name, they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness, they are exalted. Well, what kind of God is going to exalt you and then crush you? See, when you read chapter 1 and 2, the devil is trying to destroy him. He can't destroy him. He's making him sick, and he found a place in Job's life where he can get in, and that is in the fear. That's why you and I got to do very much every day, staying in faith. And that's why all of God's system is designed for you and I to live in the Word, live in His presence, live in the power, live in the Spirit. You know what? Then none of that stuff is going to have any effect on you, because it rolls off the outside of it. Some people are like, Pastor, you just sound like you just live in the Word all day long. That's how all this stuff rolls off. Because I live in this Word. Well, but I can't be like you and study the Bible 17 hours a day. You're right, you can't. But the amount of time you have to spend in the Word will be more than enough as soon as you get this truth. The foundation of His throne is righteousness and justice. Amen. Psalm 97, verse 2. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 97, 1 through 3. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Well, except for the few of God's children who he crushes and punishes. No, see, that's not what it says. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Here it is. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Job. Now let's go back here to the back. Job prays for relief. Bildad shows up. Job talks to God. That's good. Zophar shows up. Job talks more. Eliphaz shows up. Job talks more. Job talks more. There's some really good stuff in the back here, Father, where Job is talking in God's defense. Then, let's see. I'm trying to find the chapter. Elihu contradicts him. And then somewhere here, God said to Job's friends, when Job prays for you, I will heal you. Job 42, I want to go to 42:7 first and then 10. So it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you, you and your two friends. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.
Wow.
See, you can trust this word. You can trust this word. But you got to start with the foundation of who God is, righteousness and justice. And see, justice means everybody's got the same shot. Verse 7. My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me. That's why I said it's properly quoted what they said, but don't just sit down there and say, I'm going to do what Eliphaz does. At the end of the book, God rebukes him and says, anger is aroused at you. That's pretty serious. Verse 8, take for you seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job. Offer yourself a burnt offering. My servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him. I will deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken what is right, as my servant Job has spoken. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite. Bildad is one of the shortest men in the Bible, because he was a Shuhite.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it was me and Mariah.
Did Did you get it? He was a shoe height. He was as tall as a shoe. Bildad the shoe. Never mind. Don't worry. It's deep. They went out and did as the Lord commanded them. For the Lord had accepted Job. Verse 10. And the Lord restored. That's what God does. Job's losses. And he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much. All his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him. And for all the adversary, look at what it says, that the Lord had brought upon him. The Lord didn't bring this on him. It's properly quoted, but it is not the truth. The Lord didn't bring it up. Some of you are going to be like, Pastor, we got to talk about this. Please send me an email. I ask you to send me an email. I ask you to. Let's see. Each one of them gave him a piece of silver and a ring of gold. That's pretty cool. Now, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen. That is a big old ranch right there.
Yeah, it is.
1,000 yoke, that's 2,000 oxes. You know how much food you got to raise just to feed 2,000 oxen? He had 7 more sons and 3 daughters. It wasn't the same as Job. The other Mrs. Job went somewhere. And he called the name of the first Jemima. There ain't nothing wrong with Aunt Jemima's syrup, you bunch of knuckleheads. Anyways, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren. So for four generations, and Job died old and of a full age. Now, that is a very surface skipping of the book of Job, right? For this purpose, to take the mystique and the absolute attack against God's character out of the book of Job. All of that is done by the spirit of religion because it hates our God and it hates our God's nature. The devil wants you to not be able to trust God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Here he wants to know why when you're studying the book of Job, you keep going to the other chapters.
To the other chapters. All right. Well, because the only way people understand who God is to take Genesis to Revelation, and it's called the harmony of Scripture. You learn God's attribute from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation and everything in the middle. So what we have to do is, in order to understand who God is, you can't put all the understanding of God in one verse because that will be devoid of all the understanding of God. God has over, what is it, over 100 names? 70-some,
I believe it is.
It takes 100, it takes 70, I don't know what the number is, 75, 100. It takes that many names just to name who God is. Those seraphim that fly around the throne 24 hours a day crying, holy, 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 holy. It's because they see a new facet of God all the time. They're far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts, but he promises to you and I that he wants us to know his ways. Psalm 103, verse 6 and 7. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. You and I get to see his ways and his acts. Go with me to John chapter 14. Look at this. This is Jesus. He's getting ready to take off and be out of here. Watch this. Verse 12. John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say, he who believes in me, that's Jesus, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, I want you to see something. If God is in heaven crushing us every time we get something going, well, what in the world are you going to do? How are you ever going to know whether you can make it or not? See, Jesus said the greater things than he did on this earth, you and I are supposed to do. You know what that means? We got to find out what his ways are. We got to find out what his paths are. We got to find out why, how, and where. And now you can't just read one set of verses. You got to read the whole book. Watch. I said 2 Corinthians 12. We got to go there and then we'll be done. So is Job about faith and trust in God? Well, you definitely see faith and trust in God, but you also have to see Job where it was, way at the beginning, before there was a Bible for anybody to read. And the revelation of God and who he was has grown and developed so much. It's also Old Testament. So there's a whole lot of things about Job's life that have nothing to do with our life because it's Old Testament. But he did know God and walked before him and was perfect. The only place the enemy got in is he had fear. And that's where the enemy could get in, because otherwise he couldn't get in. Because he was righteous. And God's in heaven not crushing nobody righteous. No, Job knew God. It says it right in verse 1. Now watch. I can tell we're going to have to study the whole book of Job one day.
Yeah.
But this is the greatest thing you got to learn about Job. It's properly quoted what those people said. But those three friends got rebuked by God and said, if you go to Job and have him pray, I'll forgive you. See what that means? Everything those three jokers said, You better take them chapters and say, hold it. This is dangerous. I better not believe that. Don't believe what Korah believed in the book of Exodus and Numbers. The ground swallowed him and 20,000 people just like him. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And last, I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me.
There you go.
Paul's thorn in the flesh was not from God. It was from the devil. Wait, I just plucked of the most rotten fruit on the spirit of religion's tree, and we just crushed it with the word of God. Jesus came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It didn't have anything to do with God. And God, Paul said to God, remove it. God said, you do it. Grace is sufficient for you. What was the greatest biggest thing that Paul had to face? What was his thorn in the flesh? Well, Pastor, it was his eyesight. Well, Pastor, it was his wife. Oh, my goodness. A bunch of stuff that nobody has anything on. It's all speculation. I'll tell you exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Everywhere he went, he was plagued by the religious crowd coming and making a mess where he was at. Beating him, stoning him, whipping him, and opposing the work of God everywhere he went. By the religious people. Everywhere he went. And God said, deal with it. See, we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. Therefore, we just guess whenever it is God's going to swat us because he woke up feeling like he ought to swat something on Tuesday? No, see, that's not his nature. But religion, churchianity wants you to believe that that's who God is. Listen, the people that believe it don't even want to believe it. Why? Because it's how God is. And if people continue down a path that is not God, they'll lose their testimony. They'll lose their joy. They'll lose the blessing of God in their life. And it's because they refuse to submit themselves to the word of God. They come face to face with God and turn and walk a different way. It's one of the most confusing things I've ever seen, but I've been around the church for almost 60 years. I've watched it my whole life. I don't understand it. Why, when God is there and the word of God is in front of you and people around you who will help you see, you got to keep saying, hold it, I don't see. Help me see. This is the toughest time to ask somebody to help you see. When you're mad, when you're sad, or when you're confused, or when you're wounded. I told you guys the story. I went to Dr. Barclay. Dr. Barclay said, your problem, Sam, is you're offended at me. Oh, no, I'm not. And he said, yeah, you are. And I'm like, well, Pastor, I'm not offended at you. I know better than that. He just looked at me. Well, I'm sitting in front of the prophet of God, tried, true, and tested. All right, I'm offended. So I said, how am I offended, Pastor? Wait, if he's saying I'm offended, then I got to figure out, you know, he's going to, he knows what he's saying. He said, you think I'm going to do this, this, and this for you? I said, yes, I do. He goes, I will never do that for you. I'm like, what? He said, I'll never do that for you. I'm like, wait. I'm like, you'll never do that? He goes, no, never. That's outside of my position as your pastor. I'm like, hold it. He goes, I said, you mean like never? He said, it's outside of my position. I'll never do that. So I got that deer in the headlights. Like, well, I sure believe that that's out of order, don't I? He goes, you'll figure it out, but I'll never do that. And then you know what he said? So are you offended at me? I said, well, if you'll never do that, and you're telling me that, what do I have to be offended at? He goes, exactly, and learn this lesson. The greatest reason offense is ever there is you expect somebody to do something that is outside of the place to do. And because you expected them to do it, you now carry an offense over something they weren't ever going to do. And he said, isn't it just seeing for you all of a sudden to realize that you don't have to be offended? I'm like, well, I guess if you ain't never doing it, I ain't going to be offended about it. We kind of high-five, slapped me on the shoulder, and I went home. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
There, now we know.
Oh, wait. I had to study to see what he was saying. But that's why God gives you a pastor. He gives you a pastor that's been down the road before. Guess what? Before he got there, somebody else was down that road. You know what else? Before he got there, that guy was down the road. And then as you come, God promotes you through the rank, and he grows you up, and he establishes you, and he strengthens you. And you know what you get? You get a man or woman of God that'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Are any of us perfect? In God? Let me tell you what perfection is in God. It's excellence. It's the spirit and nature of excellence. You know what that means? You get everything you got today. And then what you do tomorrow? You give it everything you got tomorrow. And you know what you do the next day? You give it everything you got that day. And if you have a day, oh Lord, what do you do the next day? You give it everything you got that day. Why? Because there's nothing else for you to do. Dr. Oral Roberts made a very powerful statement. And goodness sakes, Dr. Oral Roberts saw, I forget what number it was, a million people healed or something in his lifetime. It's a huge number. Watch this. He said, no human can be on 24/7. But that's what we're supposed to be. If you and I will submit to this book, I got to give you one more verse to prove it. Ephesians chapter 3, 19. Why would God give me that dream about Job? Well, number one, to study it. Number two, to encourage you. If God's given you the dream, it's in order to study, help you see. And number two, it's always going to be to encourage you. It could be to warn you. And most of all, don't be led by a dream, be led by the word. Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. You ready? This is the love of Christ, the foundation of his throne. And righteousness. To know the love of God, which passes knowledge. Look at this next statement. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Say this with me. Fill me, Lord.
Fill me, Lord.
With all the fullness of God. Wait. In that statement, it's not going to be any days of fear. But will fear present itself?
Oh, yeah.
In it will be no days of sin. But will sin present itself? Well, certainly. In it will be many days of righteousness and joy and peace. But will your integrity be challenged? Oh, yeah. Why? Because the devil don't want you taking one piece of territory. It's been a long time since I said the name of the program, isn't it? Get that name out. The enemy.
Oh.
Enemy don't want you taking any land. One person asked me recently, thinking, Lord, did I get life all from the age of 18? Well, here's the thing on that, man. The cool thing about God is it doesn't matter whether you got life then or it was a mess, whatever. The cool thing about God is you're here with a bunch of people right now that's helping you get to understanding. Mm-hmm. And you and I and this body, you have been one of the most powerful forces in this body because your questions are so on for everybody. Thank you. You are a valuable part of this body. Everybody here loves you. And if they don't, we'll give them a bunch of Valentines that they can chew on until they do. See, guys, we got to get this. God wants you and I to have all the fullness of God. But see, churchianity, religiosity says, hey, you can't do that. Don't get into all that power stuff. Don't get into all that faith stuff. Stay out of that. Just be at church and be quiet and be gentle and be soft. Yeah. That's 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Paul said, from such, turn away. From such, turn away. See, God's system, God's kingdom, take the word system out. God's kingdom is set up very specifically. And it's very well laid out in the New Testament. But you got to have somebody who's not a churchianity person. You got to have somebody that's not a religiosity person. You got to have somebody that'll sit down and open this book. And then when we find a verse that makes us all go, oh, my Lord. Did you just see what that said? The verse of scripture I tried bringing this morning to the morning prayer was really good. Even though all y'all didn't get to see it, it was very, very good. Amen, Phyllis. Fill me, Lord, with all the fullness of God. Enoch was so full of God, he walked out of here. There is nothing that says that can't still happen. Now, every man, the Bible says every man is going to see death. I got a word for you. Try to get so close to God, he just takes you out of here. It's good. It's really good effort. I still have more questions, but I'm going to go read them. Wow, the verses just keep flying. You want another good verse? Proverbs chapter, oh Lord, I've been all over tonight. Proverbs chapter, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of the king. Whoops. It's like 25-2. I was getting close. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of a king searches that matter out. That's one of the reasons and the great values of what we do here and how we do it. Now, guys, I can see I'm going to have to just take Job on and just go through the whole book. But listen, when you read the Psalms, you got to realize that's David in the Old Covenant. And there's parts of those Psalms that bringing them through the cross, you don't have to have that same thing happen to you. Yeah. You and I, see, their sins were just covered. Our sins are blotted out, purged. So there's sin, there's Psalms that David says that talks about your sins being covered, but that's not what you and I are experiencing. Our sins are literally purged according to Hebrews chapter 9. And that's why I can't You can't live in the doctrines of the Old Testament in the New Testament day. That's why the whole thing about the Sabbath is all messed up. The Sabbath is a picture of what's to come. Well, guess what? The picture is here. So that has passed away. Now, if you want to celebrate on Saturday and take the day Friday night to Saturday night, there ain't a thing wrong with that on the face of this earth. To make it a doctrine of the New Testament, it is not. It is not a doctrine of the New Testament. Paul very specifically said it in several different cases. And therefore, you and I got to stay out of that confusion. And what a day. This is the reality of it in the day we live. There are people who have to take a Sabbath day off on many different days of the week. But see, Paul said, let no one judge you of a holy day. Let no one judge you of a holy day. And that means if you're going to keep Friday night to Saturday night holy, then do it. And if somebody's going to keep Sunday holy, then do it. But if they're like a preacher and they got to work on Saturday and Sunday, he's probably going to make Monday holy.
There you go. Nice Sunday.
Sunday Geyser, we love you. Sunday, we might go for another 3 hours yet tonight. So hang in there. Listen, you guys got more questions? Because I got a whole book full of verses we can preach to them. See, I think it's one of the things that we have to realize in all of our studies is you can't live your New Testament life in an Old Testament doctrine. That passed away. The old covenant is gone. The moment Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant, all that old sacrifice was gone. The Passover was no longer needed another day. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And it was all done. So what happens is we start, you know, Uncle or Aunt Mabel preached in our church when I was growing up. They preached the doctrines of the book of Leviticus. Oops, that has passed away. Remember what Jesus said? Find this. All of the law and the prophets are wrapped up in these two commandments. What are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as Matthew 22:36. Jesus said, all of the law and all of the prophets is wrapped up in these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And guess what? He did. So you and I got to live in the New Testament world. You don't get rid of your Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is filled with the prophecies of what was coming in the New Testament. When you go to the Old Testament, you see God's nature all the way from the beginning of the earth, the foundation of the earth, and you see it all the way to the end. The prophecies of Genesis prove the book of Revelation. It's just an absolutely amazing force. But what we got to do is remember that the old covenant is passed away, and you and I are living in a better covenant with better promises based on the blood of Jesus, not the blood of bulls and goats. And if you want to hear that taught specifically, then send me an email, and I'll send you the video when we talk. Because it's already there. How in the world do we circle the wagons on this? Somebody say, circle the wagons. Let's go do this.
Oh,
Acts chapter 17. This will be the circling of the wagons. Would it be true to say that there is no doctrine in the New Testament? No, that is not true. Acts chapter 17. The New Testament is filled with doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is a systematic way of teaching and thinking and developing a thought process. That's what doctrine is. Systematic way of seeing it. That's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. He filled Jesus. He's filling you. He comes in you at birth. And then he begins to develop. You'll see it this week as we study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit each night. As we study the Holy Spirit in your daily lives, that's what we're teaching all week long. So make sure you're here. Like they used to say on TV, be here or be a square. Look at this. This is Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. I'm not going to read it all, but I am going to read 10 and 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. They left Jason's house because they were being attacked. And as soon as they got to the next city, they got attacked. They went straight to the same people, smacked them religious people. What Brother Ken Miller say? Go offend a Pharisee today.
Yeah, there you go.
Verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether they were so. The Bereans were more noble. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily. Not to mock Paul and Silas, to say, let me see what the Bible is saying. You got to be willing to see. When somebody says, let me show you something, you got to be willing to see it. As soon as you say, no, I refuse, you stopped your growth. As soon as you stop your growth, you stop everything around you. And nobody can make you grow because it's all your own choice. Look at verse 12. Many of them believed, and not a few of the Greeks. Many of them, prominent women and men. We circled the wagons. They have now been in the middle. Somebody get the cookie out. Get the beans cooking. Let's go. It is time to be finished with this lesson tonight. Let me ask another question here. Does anybody else have another question about the question we just answered? Even if it's like, Pastor, I don't think you answered anything. See, this is one of those things you got to see. You got to see this. We got to make the Bible harmonize from Genesis to Revelation. And when it doesn't, we have to look to heaven and say, help me see, not point your finger at the Bible and say, the Bible is wrong. Letting it go. I'm going to sit there and think a little bit. Are you kidding me? Really, 2 minutes still?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, you can always tell when we're having a good study because we just go and all of a sudden we're like, oh my Lord, look what time it is. You want to say it with me? I choose to be a Berean. Let's pray. Father, I gave that, Lord, I gave exactly what I see from you and what my training has been in the kingdom. Help us take your word, Father, and stretch it and open it up and see with different glasses and different eyes than we've ever seen before. You said that we might have and know all the fullness of God. You said that we could have the mind of Christ. Paul said, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And right now, Father, I pray that's the desire of every one of our hearts, that we would have that same mind in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Father, instruct us, teach us, grow us, develop us, help us, establish us, strengthen us. May the joy of the Lord be greater strength than we've ever had before. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, rule our hearts and rule our minds and bring great blessing to each of our families. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mary, I want to encourage you, Mary. Call me and let's talk. Call me on this screen and let's talk about it again. Because I want you to have great confidence and great strength in God, not the dream. Because you got to have your confidence in God, not that dream. Dreams help us. Dreams strengthen us. But dreams don't lead us. The Word of God is what leads us. And if you call me, just not right now. If you call me, we'll help you get into that in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, it is time for New Covenant worship, which is communion, as some people know it, from the Word of God. I would encourage you to grab these verses that Sister Leanne has put in here. Wow, we covered a lot of verses tonight, didn't we? Well, just make it midnight tonight, because we're still awake. There can't be a whole lot going on in the middle of the night. This is what we know, okay? We love you and we appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
And we thank you for being a part of this family. You are a very, very, very valuable part of this family. And we thank you for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and here we go. The communion elements. Those of you that are new to us, I encourage you to get some bread and juice, bread and water. One guy had a Cheez-It and Gatorade, but I encourage you, as you go through this, to make sure you have bread and at least grape juice in your house on a regular basis to receive communion. Why? Because that's what Jesus gave as an example. And we do everything in our power to follow in his footsteps and the example that he gives us. Why? Because he's a God of excellence and order. He loves excellence. He loves order. And so we encourage you to be here and be a part of that with us. Ready? 1 Corinthians 11:23. I still feel like there's something left unsaid in that other stuff. So when we get done, we might have a little more instruction here. All right? For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19. Love, God's love, has been perfected in this. This is what perfect love does. I love this. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How can you have boldness, Pastor? Because you are the feet of Jesus. And as he is, so are we on this earth. One of the most powerful that can ever be made, as he is right now, so are we in this world. Not as the Old Testament was, as he is right now, so are we in this world. 18. There is no perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. So love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Now, if you're new to us, this is what I want you to see. What we do here is straight down the Bible. Many churches say you can't take communion with us unless you're a member. That's what membership process says, and that's what they are. I will not condemn them for that. That's up to them. However, there is nothing about joining a church in the communion elements. The bottom line is, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you can take the communion elements anytime the body of Christ is taken. And there's no instruction. There's nothing wrong with your pastor doing it. When you come to church and you're in a church building, yes, he's going to lead you in. There's no declaration. You can't take it at home. What's interesting is how much that doctrine got flushed out of the kingdom as soon as COVID happened. Hey, John Wayner's with us. Brother John, love you, man. Good to see you. All the way from the beautiful state of Vermont. Love you, brother. Call me sometime or something. Jesus, this is red letters you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because he showed up and spoke to Paul. Verse 26 says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But it's not just his death, guys. It's the whole plan. Salvation. It's all of the redemptive process. And it all happens right here, right now. 28 says, let a man examine himself and let him eat. You ready? We're going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. We're going to pray the prayer of rededication right now. We're going to pray the prayer of hallelujah, I'm a child of God right now. Whichever one of those it is, pray it with us. Because Jesus said, as often as you do this, you know what that means? We've done this now here, literally.
We've been on 400 and some days, and we used to do it twice.
447 times in a row. days in a row. Wow. I love it. Don't brag about that number. That don't mean nothing except turn around and look backwards and say, shut it, devil. We already got it done. I'm really trying to be real holy and just, you know, pray to me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need Jesus in my life.
I know I need Jesus in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
And I receive you now,
Jesus. I receive you now, Jesus.
I know you are the door to salvation.
You are the door to salvation.
And I enter in. You.
And I enter in through you.
I believe in you, Jesus.
I believe in you, Jesus.
And I receive you, Jesus.
And I receive
you. And you make me a child of God.
And you make me a child of God.
Do this. Say, here's all my sin. Dump them out.
Here's all my sin, Jesus.
And reach out and say, I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
And I thank you for
that. Thank you for it.
May you experience that in Jesus' mighty name. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. That's the first time you prayed that prayer? Welcome to the kingdom of God. Here we are. This is what we look like. Aren't we a set of handsome sinners? I wish you guys could see this sunset. Would you do me a favor and go take a picture of it? Because whatever you normally do for me, I am now releasing you from your responsibilities because Sister Leanne opened up the sheet and you should see this sunset. That is absolutely amazing. Probably have to go to the deck to get a good picture. And then we'll post it a little bit later for everybody to see. That's the first time you prayed that prayer. Guess what? You have now become a believer. I thought I was a Christian, Pastor. You are one of those too. A Christ follower. A believer. I like to say believer because there's a whole lot of different opinions about Christians. There ain't many opinions about this guy's a believer. That means I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. Watch this. This is what happened to you. In one prayer, you literally went from darkness to light. Literally. You went from fear to faith. Literally. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. Prayer. There has never been anybody on the face of this earth who was ever good enough to get to God without needing Jesus' righteousness. Apostle Paul said, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no other way to read it. Jesus made you his righteousness. What a wonderful, amazing, awesome, marvelous thought that is. He made you his righteousness. Now watch. Then he filled you with his spirit. And literally has made you a child of God. Romans chapter 8 says you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. My, what a deal, what a deal, what a deal, what a deal. Now watch this. You are now in the kingdom of God. You've taken first step. Our place here is to help you walk with God every day of your life. You might say, Pastor, I've been a part of church and religion. Yeah, I know. I was there too. But guess what? Then there comes a greater revelation of who God is. And now all of a sudden, it just explodes. And the revelation is new every day. Why? Because there's another side of God that you can come to an understanding of that you've never seen before. Because Jesus said, to him who has revelation, more will be given. To him who does not, even what he has will be taken away from him. Isn't that something? Say it. I'm getting all I can get.
I'm getting all I can get.
Yeah, because the more you get, the more he gives you. Now, they put my email address and website in there. On the website is this communion service written in Word so that you can actually sit down in your house and read it yourself. Lead your family. Also is my email address. I would like to have you send me an email and say, Pastor, send me those 10 verses that are foundation verses. They're not the only foundation verses of the Bible. There's probably 100, 1,000, there might be 1,000,000 of us preachers saying, I got 10 verses and they all be different. But it's okay. It's the 10 verses he gave me and I'm going to give them to you as the gospel truth because they are. Isn't that the name of Andrew Womack's program, The Gospel Truth?
It is. Yes, it is.
All right. Well, that's not a plug for Andrew Womack, but anyways, he's one of the coolest preachers in the whole world.
He really is.
He just stands there and talks like this, and then he just like, anyways. I want to send those verses to him, so email me. I will. Send me a question. Send me, you know, testimony, whatever. I want to help you walk with God. And that's what this whole body will do. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, ready? Let's receive the communion element together. Up, we'll bless them together. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless the elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my
emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission in my life.
Has been placed in remission in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
No more condemnation.
Let's see. I got to get into the first verses. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague
has to pass over.
It has to pass
and
over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
Cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment.
For my assignment.
Every day.
Every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down in my life.
Is cast down in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the juice. Don't you just love the blood of Jesus? We'll sing our song now. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. Well, there we go. I actually did sing.
Did.
That one doesn't have a real broad range of notes, though.
Yeah.
They stay a lot closer together. Well, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glad you guys are with us tonight. And thank you for taking a part, being a part. And Becca and all your flock, bless you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We sure love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow about noonish. At noonish, excellent. For an hour of faith, where we study faith together on Sunday. Receive communion. And it goes quick, but it's all right. It's what God said to do, so we're going to do it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
We love you.
I was just paused. Sister Julian and Mama, as you go to church. Because
It's
Sunday there. Sunday morning we're there. Raymond, love you. Mary, Pastor Rick, call us right now. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, thank you for leading tonight's study, Mary.
Did good, Mary.
Yeah, you did.
We appreciate you. I do. Because the questions are good, and the blessing is real. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I don't know whether to go have chicken or ribs or macaroni and cheese.
Or for a walk.
Looks like I'm going to go exercise, which is all right. We love it. Remember that? I told you about this the other day. If you watch YouTube, I have a playlist on my YouTube channel that is Dutch Sheets, give him 15, and it's this whole book he's done, The Glory of His
Presence.
It is awesome to just sit down and listen. They're 15 minutes in it, each one. And we've been doing it while we're walking every night. And wow, when you read it all together, it gives you a whole new thing of God. Or when you listen to it all together, it's not reading, it's listening. An understanding of the Father. The Father doesn't want your song because he wants you. He didn't say he was seeking worship. He said he was seeking the worshiper. He wants to be one with you. You need to be one with him. Well, here we go. Till we see you again tomorrow, this is what we say. Remember this. Every time we come together, and every day, no matter